The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Slavin, and for the next hour, a very, very informative conversation with our very special guest, Carl Germano. Good morning, Dr. Slavin. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy to have you share in our discussion with our listeners this morning, Carl. Just a little bit of background for our listeners who might not necessarily know Carl Germano. And after today, they certainly will know about your books, about your background. You're a researcher, a consultant. You have been very significant voice in the nutrition and supplement industry for years and years and years. And you have a number of different books that they can go to Amazon.com. They can go to different health food stores and find your books, as well as today they're going to get an education in a very important and newly growing field. So, Carl, if you want to begin with a little introduction into your latest research.
Oh, sure. Over the past few years, I have been involved with looking at these active compounds that are found in industrial hemp, or people know it as marijuana. Basically, it's cannabis sativa, but there is a difference between the two plants. Nevertheless, these active compounds will probably represent the most clinically relevant, important compounds that have ever come to this industry. This plant, which is taking a turn for the better, is being looked at as probably one of the most important plants or herbal medicines that we will ever have in our industry. And hopefully today we'll get to understand why it can make such claims, because the overriding message here is that it's the compounds in this plant are feeding a system in the body that is also newly discovered, unlike anything out there in the marketplace. So, again, I could say without any shadow of a doubt that my almost 40 years in the dietary supplement industry, helping to bring in new compounds, whether it be from plants or new nutraceuticals, that I've never seen anything like what I'm seeing today coming out of industrial hemp.
Well, that's astonishing to me, because here is a plant that's very, very easily grown. And, you know, over the years, we've known about hemp seeds as having very beneficial protein, essential fatty acids, fiber content, and people consume hemp seed oil. How is it that for so many years, the beneficial properties of this plant have been neglected?
Well, it's unfortunate that from the plant's perspective, through selective hybridization, it was cultivated here in this country, not for the necessary all the right reasons. And what I mean by this is that when you look at the active compounds in hemp or cannabis sativa, and they're known as cannabinoids, or we call them phytocannabinoids, the active compounds in cannabis. And quite frankly, THC, or tetrahydrocannabinol, has been the one particular cannabinoid that has psychoactivity, the stuff that gets you high or stoned, that's gotten really all the attention. And really, because of its legal status being a Schedule I drug, it has kept this plant out of research and out of the agricultural marketplace here in the United States for decades. Again, I say all the wrong reasons because the plant doesn't grow with 20-30% THC. It was done so, it was cultivated that way for recreational purposes, but we're finding something very interesting, and quite frankly, THC is going to have to take a back step to the other non-psychoactive cannabinoids found in this plant that have profound clinical benefit in terms of prevention of disease or even treatment of many diseases, as the literature will clearly show. And so things are changing now in terms of its cultivation, and we must make a clear distinction between industrial hemp and marijuana or medical marijuana. Yes, both of these plants are cannabis sativa, the same genus and species. But that's where the similarity ends. Marijuana is grown and cultivated for THC, again, the psychoactive compound, whereas industrial hemp is grown for many purposes, food, clothing, fuel, and other cannabinoids that are not psychoactive that but touch every single organ of the body.
Astonishing information, I think, for people, because, again, people do have a concern that perhaps this is in some way illegal, in some way modified to have a specific impact on their brain. Now, you're talking about industrial hemp. And correct. It is the same genus and species, but when it's grown, doesn't it look dramatically different?
There are some differences physically when you look at the plants, and it depends upon sativa versus indica, what have you. But quite frankly, the laws get even more bizarre when it comes to the cultivation of industrial hemp, which is really used for food, clothing, and other and fuel and other aspects. Here in the United States, it's even illegal to grow industrial hemp for commercial purposes. There are states that have been granted the rights to grow industrial hemp for R&D purposes only. So where do we rely on getting industrial hemp into this country? We rely on its importation through whether it be Canada or Europe, primarily Europe now, and it is federally legal under several laws. One is the harmonized tariff codes that exist, and the Agricultural Act of 2014 actually defined industrial hemp, where we look at this plant, its ability to come into this country and be sold across state lines, providing it doesn't have more than 0.3% THC. So industrial hemp, which is a very low to no THC cultivated cannabis, is loaded with other important phytocannabinoids, which I'll talk about in a second, and it is federally legal to import it and to sell it across state lines here in this country. And so if you go to the health food store, you're going to see hemp seed oil. Well, the seed doesn't have a lot of these phytocannabinoids. The seed has a lot of the fatty acids, omega-3s and omega-6 and some omega-9s. The seed also has a protein where you get hemp seed protein in the marketplace. So those have been really what's been dominant on the shelf. But when you look at the stalk can be a very important source of these other active compounds that are not psychoactive. And I think one of the most important ones that got all the media attention over the past year or two has been a compound called CBD, or cannabidiol. And it started with Dr. Sanjay Gupta and his 3 one-hour specials he did on CNN, where he, first of all, he apologized to everyone. He apologized for taking such a harsh stance on medical marijuana, and essentially he said that I made a mistake. When you actually look at the research, it is quite profound and quite significant in pointing to the direction that these cannabinoids have medical benefit, have medical use. His particular three one-hour specials focused on families with children who have Dravet syndrome, about 300 epileptic seizures a week with the application of this CBD oil. It literally went down to maybe one. It was that significant. But when you actually look at the data and you actually look at the stance of the U.S. government, it's interesting that in 2003, the United States government was issued a patent on the antioxidant and neuroprotective aspects of cannabinoids and cannabis. And in that particular patent, they claim that these phytocannabinoids are found to have particular application as neuroprotective agents, meaning that it limits neurological damage following things like stroke or trauma, and very useful in the treatment of neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, HIV, dementia. And that these non-psychoactive cannabinoids, such as CBD or cannabidiol, are particularly advantageous to use because they avoid toxicity that is encountered with psychoactive compounds in the plant. And in this patent, they also claim that cannabinoids at high doses are useful in the method of this invention, that they were particularly interested in cannabinoids' neuroprotective antioxidant value as well. So here's a government that's continually keeping this plant hostage as a Schedule I drug, meaning there's no medical use, and they get an issued a patent in 2003, which clearly demonstrates medical use. So things are starting to unravel, and thanks Israel, and thanks to Europe for all the research that's been done outside of this country, because when you keep this plant hostage as Schedule I, you can't even study it. You can't even bring this to an institution to do clinical work and clinical trials. That's changing rapidly, but nonetheless, that's what's going on. So Sanjay Gupta really was very outspoken. He said he mistakenly believed that the FDA must have had reason to keep this as the most dangerous drug, but he said they didn't have the science to support that claim. And he goes, I now know that when it comes to cannabis, neither of these things are true, and that we've been terribly, terribly and systematically misled for nearly 70 years in the U.S. And he went on to apologize because he said he didn't look hard enough until he decided to look hard enough, and that the review papers and the research that's out there are just remarkable. And he's changed his mind completely. But it transcends even further. You had the cover of National Geographic in June, talking about the new science of cannabis, and when you actually read the article, it's mostly about the non-psychoactive compounds. The cover of Time magazine earlier in the year, it talks about the world of cannabis science. So you had a lot of national attention. This is the first time in my field that there's been fantastic media attention, mass media attention to the mass marketplace for these compounds before the dietary supplement industry got out there to start talking about it. So it's been very interesting what's going on. Nevertheless, we've got to look at the fact that the history of use is strong. I mean, cannabis and the hemp plant has been around for tens of thousands of years, starting in China and India, recorded uses for rheumatic pain, food, clothing, and medicinal, constipation, malaria, menstrual cramps. There's a whole bit. Back in from 1850 to 1941, it was listed in the U.S. Pharmacopeia, where hemp extracts were the first, second, and probably third most prescribed meds in the U.S. And then in the early 1900s, it was manufactured as a medication. Eli Lilly, Wyeth, Park Davis, Sharp & Dohme, they all had cannabis-containing extracts. So unfortunately, the socio-political climate changed. There's a lot of controversy as to hemp being a direct competitor or to the cotton plants, and people in power back in the 30s literally put this over the edge. And back in 1937, the Marijuana Tax Act was overturned, and then in the 70s, it was the Controlled Substance Act. So it literally disappeared here because of politics and other aspects, but the science is all coming back, and you can't hide science, and that's what's the important message here. So when we get to the science and we look at this plant like any other herbal plant, you look at the active compounds in that plant that are doing benefit both to the plant and what it could do into the body. And again, I go back to these active compounds called phytocannabinoids, THC being the psychoactive one, CBD being the next most dominant non-psychoactive cannabinoid that has anti-inflammatory, anti-convulsant, antipsychotic, antioxidant, immune-modulating, and neuroprotective effects in the body, and then some. You have other minor cannabinoids in there called CBC, CBG, CBN. There are about 80 or more. And not only are there 80 or more, but then the plant is loaded with terpenes, very important terpenes, some of them that we'll talk about, but they've been also very active in the clinical scene. So why am I making these comments? Why am I saying these products are so important? Well, we have to go to the real heart and soul of this story. And that is, in the late 1990s, the endocannabinoid system was discovered in the body. That's right.
And Carl,
in your body, you have receptors.
Carl, what we need to do is take a short break. And when we come back to discuss with our listeners the endocannabinoid system in the body and all of the interaction that's possible for prevention and treatment of a wide range of different health issues. And to our listeners, you're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin and our very special guest today, Carl Germano, and we're talking about cannabis sativa and all you need to know about that. We'll be right back after these messages.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin and our special guest, Carl Germano, who has been doing in-depth research and is about to present us with the results of all of the time and energy that he's devoted to uncovering the facts about the preventive and treating aspects of using CBD oil and all of these phytocannabinoids. Carl? Hopefully our special guest Carl is still with us.
Yes. Okay. So in the 1990s, as I had mentioned, there was the discovery of probably one of the most, I feel, one of the most important medical discoveries in quite some time, and that is this discovery of the endocannabinoid system. And what this is all about, the endocannabinoid system is a series and network of receptors found all over the body, principally in the brain, immune system, gut, peripheral tissue, as well as many organ systems. And this system includes receptors, things, particularly cannabinoid receptors, we call them. These are pockets that hold on to cannabinoids so that the cell can do certain activities. So you've got receptors, CB1 primarily in the brain, CB2 primarily in the immune system. They're both found other places, but in general, that's where they're dominant. And these receptors grab onto cannabinoids to do work. So you have to ask the question, well, what the heck are these receptors doing in the body? The body must feed them. And lo and behold, shortly after the discovery of the endocannabinoid system, we started to discover endocannabinoids, which means, yes, your body is producing cannabinoids. Cannabinoids similar to what you find in cannabis, the plant. These are the compounds that are sitting on these receptors to do remarkable things. From a global perspective, the endocannabinoid system is all about maintaining health, well-being, balance, what we call homeostasis. But its role is still evolving. It's a kind of a tuning system in the body. It modulates neurotransmitters in the brain. It controls immune, gastrointestinal, cardiovascular aspects of the body. It regulates perception, both cognitive and motor functions. It has roles in keeping the brain healthy and its development. It affects hormones. It helps lower blood pressure, heart rate. But most importantly, what I think is that the endocannabinoid system is involved in the entire inflammatory cycling and signaling. So we consider the endocannabinoid system as a modulating or even an adaptogenic system. The body produces its own cannabinoids on demand, so they can become conditionally essential when they're needed more than other times, like periods of stress and what have you, because that's what homeostasis is all about. In order for the body to be adapt to various conditions that we are exposed to, the endocannabinoid system is crucial and critical in controlling that aspect. So they're produced on demand, and they're degraded rapidly. We produce them by many fatty compounds in the body, including what we call phospholipids. And there's a direct relationship between omega-3s and the cannabinoids you produce in the body. We now know that low omega-3 status results in low endocannabinoid production. And so what we feel is that both this hemp stalk extract and these other phytocannabinoids, the perfect marriage from a nutritional standpoint is to combine them with omega-3s. And we'll get to that in a second. But what are these CB receptors? What do they play roles in? They play roles in neurotransmission, metabolism, the reward system in the body, inflammation, energy balance, glucose metabolism, and why there are aspects to these cannabinoids in diabetes and cardiovascular disease. But let's focus on inflammation for a second, because there are some excellent papers that have identified the endocannabinoid system as an emerging key player in inflammation, because we now know that this whole system is involved in the eicosanoid pathways that produce inflammatory compounds. The system is also involved with signaling of pain signals from the point of injury to the brain. And so if you think curcumin and boswellia are potent and anti-inflammatories, well, they're going to have to take a backstage to some of these cannabinoids like CBD and beta-caryophyllene, just to name two, because these are the most profound compounds that affect the entire inflammatory cascade in the body, as well as pain signaling to the brain, and why you see so much research in this area. But unlike or like every other compound that the body produces, there are states at which you don't produce enough. Now, the two cannabinoids that the body produces, one is called anandamide, the other one is called 2-AG, fancy names, but these are cannabinoids that are produced on demand. We now know that there are conditions, and there's a growing list of conditions, where they are associated completely with low levels of these endocannabinoids. So what do you need to do? When you have low levels of certain things that the body can't produce, you need to feed it. And here we're looking at feeding the endocannabinoid system as being critically important, and the big story here, not just CBD. There are several very good papers published. The Neuroendocrinology Letters back in 2008, 2014, where they talk about the fact that endocannabinoid deficiencies play major roles in migraine, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, neurological and inflammatory conditions, and a growing list of others. And that all of these conditions underlie this clinical endocannabinoid deficiency state that can be treated suitably with phytocannabinoids. So we have data that shows a clear connection between low levels of these cannabinoids we produce in the body and various conditions that can be treated by supplying endocannabinoids to that individual. And it is all under this title of endocannabinoid deficiency states that we must be very, very cognizant of. So, with all this said, we now could see that this plant and all of the non-psychoactive phytocannabinoids play tremendous roles in, from a global point of view, keeping the body in general health and well-being, homeostasis. But now we can see from a clinical perspective of that they touch or influence these receptors in the body, part of the endocannabinoid system, that regulates almost every bodily function and touches almost every single organ system of the body.
Carl, this is amazing, amazing information, and we're going to take another short break right now. But when we come back, if there are any specifics that people who are interested in accessing CBD and accessing all of the healing and preventive properties associated with these phytocannabinoids, some of the things that people need to look for with regard to minimizing the symptoms and issues that they're dealing with. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Our special guest today, Carl Germano, with all of the research and information about phytocannabinoids and how important they are in our health and overall well-being. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I just want to let everybody know that if you have a comment or a question about today's show, you can call 954-338-7313. 954-338-7313. You won't get to speak to an actual human being, but what you can do is leave your question and leave your comments with regard to Natural Doc Radio's show today. Our special guest here, Carl Germano, and we're talking about how we have been systematically misled with regard to the benefits associated with the phytocannabinoid extracts. Carl?
Yes.
Okay. We were talking just before the break about what people need to look for in products, what people need to find out about proper dosing. How can people access the benefits associated with these extracts?
Right. And essentially to answer that is to look at the legal landscape right now. FDA has taken a position that, again, the second most dominant cannabinoid called CBD in the plant, is not a dietary supplement. They take this position based upon the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act law that exists right now. And in that law, there's a little clause that says, well, if Big Pharma grabs a substance and puts out and gets approved investigational new drug applications, INDs, then it's hands off to the industry. There's a company called GW Pharmaceuticals who has done a tremendous amount of work, and I really take my hat off to them. GW has several INDs for THC, THC-CBD combination, and CBD alone as well. But, you know, when you look at the application and the drugs that they produced, these are single or, you know, there's combination CBD, THC, but and the CBD alone also is a single magic bullet approach. Remember what I said. This plant contains 80-plus cannabinoids and then a whole host of terpenes. What we have learned in the botanical industry and especially in botanical medicine is that the sum of all the important synergistic compounds found in a plant is greater than any one single compound. In addition, we know in nutritional medicine that you can't rely on any single magic bullets. There's just too many pathways to a condition or disease or what have you that no one single molecule can address all of those. So here we find no difference. So I mention all this because there are products on the marketplace, hemp stalk extracts, that have this entourage, this grand scheme of things, all of the players, the full fingerprint of the plant, that are much more significant than a single product. So while FDA took a position based upon DW's INDs, the good news is, well, the material that's found, that's going to be found in the marketplace is not a purified CBD material. It is an entourage of all the important compounds found in the plant, which are far more healthier and far more effective than just singling out CBD. Secondly, hemp stalk must be followed by various laws that govern its importation, where it has less than 0.3% THC, and that's important. But the most important thing to talk about and differentiate here is that hemp stalk extracts are considered a food ingredient, not necessarily a dietary supplement, because it is a wholesome food. And it does contain a lot of naturally occurring phytocannabinoids. Now, the governing of hemp stalk or hemp oil in general as a food dates back to Eisenhower and in 1994, even President Clinton has signed in the National Preparedness Act that talks about what foods we need to stockpile for national security purposes, and hemp is included in there. And then you got the Agricultural Act that I spoke of that actually defines industrial hemp and sets the limits on THC, not more than 0.3%. And then you have U.S. harmonized tariff schedules that have to be followed to import the material. So what's the current landscape look like? Well, it's a little bit like the Wild Wild West, and we have to be very careful. You have illegal sources out there. Again, I mentioned that you cannot grow industrial hemp for commercial purposes in the U.S. It's only for R&D. But so in those states where it is being grown for R&D purposes, it's trickling out, but that's illegal. You cannot extract the cannabinoids from the leaves, the bud, or the flowers where the predominant THC is, that's considered a drug. So that's illegal to do. And in states where recreational and medically it's allowed, people are producing these materials that are trickling outside. That's illegal. I've seen the pure synthetic crystal CBD out there, and the synthetics are coming out of China. And quite frankly, these are no different and will absolutely infringe on GW's patents. And not something you would want, because you don't want just CBD. You want all of the phytocannabinoids and terpenes present. I've seen low-potency materials out there. So what do you have to look for? You have to look for material that has hemp stalk, because the oil, hemp seed oil from the seed, there are no phytocannabinoids at all. So I've seen some very questionable products on the market that says, either hemp oil or cannabis oil, and they talk about CBD, and when you look at the ingredients and it says hemp seed oil, you will know very well that there are no phytocannabinoids in there. So you really need to get it from the stalk as the only federally legal material for the marketplace. And so that's my recommendations for people who are, looking to purchase this material. Again, you have to look at it as a food ingredient, and you have to look at it as a stalk extract, because CBD from leaf, flower, bud is illegal, and focusing just strictly on CBD alone is a big mistake from a botanical and nutritional clinical perspective.
Okay, so for people who want to access, say, the antioxidant neuroprotective aspects of CBD, they want to enhance the activity of omega-3s in their bodies, they want to reduce inflammation, and they want to minimize the possibility of age-related dementia. Uh-huh. Any suggestions for them?
Well, yeah, and again, you mentioned pain and inflammation. I could tell you that the University of California, Davis, and UCLA, there's been a consortium of a number of very interesting researchers out there that have done a tremendous amount of research that have been published. And when it comes to the area of pain, several of the docs I spoke to there clearly state they don't want to prescribe opioid drugs. The opiates are horrible in terms of their tolerance, in terms of their adverse effects,
just addiction. I mean, it's just a horrible scene. So what do we do with intractable pain or other kind of pain conditions? And they said 9 out of 10 docs would prescribe cannabis over an opioid drug any day because of its safety. When you look at people who are, looking to treat neurological or pain and inflammation conditions, without a doubt, these are your prime candidates for the use of cannabinoid products. And you don't have to worry about the THC content and getting stoned. There are plenty of extracts that are going to be hitting the marketplace that do not have the psychoactive compounds as found in medical marijuana.
Now, you mentioned the endocannabinoid system and that it we have this system within our bodies, that these substances are produced within our bodies in support of immune balance, brain balance, and gut. And one of the things that is very, very well established in the research is the relationship between gut health and brain health. How does CBD impact that picture?
You mentioned something I wrote about 25 years ago in my first book, The Brain Wellness Plan, where there's a whole chapter on the brain-gut connection. So this is a very interesting topic because, let's face it, your intestinal tract or your gut is the first exposure to the outside world. And literally it's lined with immune cells and has the capability of talking to the rest of the body because it's got to prepare the body. Being, excuse me, being the first exposure to the outside world, you know, you have this tube inside you, you're dumping down food and allergens and antigens and you name it, it has to readily respond and it has to talk. And it talks to the entire body, specifically the brain, for a variety of reasons. CBD, for one, is an interesting cannabinoid in the sense that it does not attached to the CB1 or CB2 receptors. It influences them, but it doesn't attach. What its main function is to reduce the breakdown or the degradation of the body's own cannabinoids, as I mentioned, anandamide and 2-AG. So it's helping to keep body stores of cannabinoids nice and strong. As opposed to certain cannabinoids like beta-caryophyllene, which is a potent CB2 agonist that actually attaches to the CB2 receptor that controls pain and inflammation and signaling to the brain. When you look at the gut, many of the gut illnesses, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, what have you, you've got tremendous amount of inflammation going on in these disease conditions. And how the cannabinoids work there are to help with cell signaling, controlling inflammatory cycling at the cell, and pain signaling to the brain itself. So again, these are molecules that kind of are ubiquitous in their ability to touch so many organ systems, and it's a communication pathway, not just neurotransmission in the brain, why we see such phenomenal activity of cannabinoids halting, you know, brain damage, controlling the way neurotransmitters are released, or controlling their release in and of itself. They just have just tremendous effects in the body, both at the side of the brain and peripherally all over and every organ system.
When we come back from this break, our last break here on Natural Doc Radio, I want to talk about a little bit about what are the other substances that are going to be so supportive. You mentioned omega-3, but there are other substances so supportive of how this entire interaction works and works to best effect. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Yes, indeed. Dr. Slavin is truly here with me. And joining us by phone, Carl Germano. We'll be right back. Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms
When your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more. Or visit amtcenters.com.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
Okay, and we're back.
See, I told you he was here.
Okay, you're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. With us is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and our special guest, Carl Germano. We're talking about cannabinoids. But before we get back to our guest, just a reminder, Advanced Medical Testing Centers,
the sponsor of our show,
is having an event at their location October 31st from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And that event is in order to introduce the public to their facility. When you call to make an appointment, they will give you a free complete blood count, a blood chemistry profile, and a urine analysis.
And the number to call for an appointment, 954-216-2332. 954-216-2332. Dr. Slavin, are you going to be there?
I will be there.
You're
going to be there.
Yes.
And you'll also have the opportunity to order other blood tests, but the CBC, the Chem Panel, your analysis will be free of charge.
Wow, that's quite an offer. Amazing.
October 31st. Okay, now back to our guest.
Okay, so what are some of the substances, Carl, that are going to support the body in most efficiently using these cannabinoids?
Well, you have so many relationships with so many compounds, vitamin D on down. But let's just quickly go back to the interplay between phytocannabinoids and omega-3. We now have several potential roles pointing to omega-3 supporting and influencing endocannabinoid system in the body, and that we know that omega-3 deficiencies reduce endocannabinoids and their natural functioning in the body. So they play very important roles in activating these receptors as well. Interestingly enough, in a paper published in 2011 in Pharmacological Research, they point to the fact that this one specifically looked at neurological function. But I'll talk about something else in a second. But the paper showed clearly that low levels of essential fatty acids have been linked to a number of neuropsychiatric diseases, including depression on down. And what they concluded was that, you know, these omega-3s, when you are deficient, they specifically ablate any long-term depression that's mediated by endocannabinoid deficiencies, meaning that, last week when I saw this new paper that came out on omega-3s treating depression, you get that aha moment where you finally get to understand that the connection between omega-3s and with endocannabinoids is very real and why it has such a significant effect on depression. And so you need these compounds to actually make it work. Now, you get cannabinoids in the diet, albeit very, 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 very minute levels, not enough to really, but you could feed the endocannabinoid system things like carrots, hops, echinacea, chocolate, just to name a few, and some of the vegetables having small amounts in there. But really to help treat or help prevent conditions, you know, taking in a good source of endocannabinoids from a stalk extract would be advisable. One of the things that we have not mentioned is the relationship between and these phytocannabinoids and cancer. Understand that some of these phytocannabinoids have an effect on cell proliferation and cell death, migration, adhesion, all these very interesting things, and it's been shown in a lot of good preliminary work right now in animals, in vivo, in vitro, what have you, anti-proliferative and apoptotic effects, meaning that these cannabinoids can literally strangle the blood supply to tumors, and they also can enhance and accelerate cell death of the tumor cells. So there's an enormous amount of applications. I really invite people to go online and to type in cannabinoids and, you know, whether it be cancer, whether it be pain, whether it be inflammation, whether it be a specific illness, and look at the data. I invite people to go to PubMed and just put in the search bar, you know, cannabinoids or even endocannabinoids, and you're going to see thousands and thousands of papers that have been published just over the past 5 years. Has been close to 30,000 papers.
Carl, can people
evolving into a very interesting space where finally the recognition. I have many friends who are docs. I've written many books with docs, and you know, I say to them, you know, you've studied a lot about the digestive system, circulatory system, neurological system, on and on and on. I said, what do you know about the endocannabinoid system? And they shrugged their shoulders, and you know, this has been not only a botanical travesty of what we did to the plant, but it's a medical travesty how the endocannabinoid system has been buried for so long, and it is probably one of the most important systems that touches all other systems in the body that we need to take special care and attention to, because it touches many of the degenerative conditions that exist today. Lo and behold, again, its global function is just to keep you upright, healthy, and functioning the right way by controlling homeostasis. So there's a lot that's evolving. We have a lot in our hands right now, and unfortunately, we've got to get rid of the stigma attached to the plant. We have to start paying more attention to these non-psychoactive compounds rather than what has been the main focus, THC, in the past. We have a plant that outperforms and outbeats any other plant out there in terms of keeping you healthy. And the fact that its active components, the phytocannabinoids, how it feeds the endocannabinoid system is just a remarkable story in and of itself.
Carl, can people find information on quality papers on your website?
Well, I don't have it on my website, but I can tell you again, you know, if you just go to Google or PubMed and you put in endocannabinoids if you want to study the system, or put in phytocannabinoids if you want to study the compounds, or put in CBD or cannabidiol, and you'll see a tremendous amount. On CBD itself, there's a great website called projectcbd.org. It is an educational site that focuses principally on CBD and all the data that exists and the literature that's been produced. And so those are, you know, between that, PubMed, and you'll find an overwhelming amount of information that's been buried, hidden, or kind of,
negated right now because of the stigma that slowly is eroding and should rightfully erode, as we need to look at this plant and this system in a very different way.
Okay, because the United States has a patent on the phytocannabinoids, is the government trying to significantly curtail the dissemination of information about CBD?
The fact that you have a patent, that doesn't mean you can stop research, and that public information is there, and it's never going to curtail research. So the data is out there. It's all about the claims. The fact that you have a patent, maybe on neuroprotective aspects, maybe they may have an issue if you come out with a product and talk about neuroprotective aspects of that specific product. But again, it was just in the neuroprotective area. Quite frankly, that's important, as there's a lot of clinical application in that patent that you could certainly talk about. But it's not going to fail either the sale or the research at all.
Very, very important information that you've shared with us today, Carl, and so important. If we just talk about the anti-inflammatory effect, we know how inflammation out of control in our bodies creates a situation just the opposite of homeostasis that we're seeking, and is the underlying contributing factor to the beginnings of so many different diseases. So I just want to tell you, thank you so much for this information. And where can people find your books?
As you mentioned, can be found on Amazon right now. As a matter of fact, I'm writing my next one on this particular subject of cannabinoids and health and disease. So we'll be on the lookout for that one soon.
Okay, so when that book is ready to come out, I'd love to talk with you again and get an insight into that book. And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. Don't forget the special event at Advanced Medical Testing Systems on October 31st. It's free from 8 to 11. Dr. Herb Slavin will be there, and I will be there, and you will be able access incredible beneficial information about your health. And we'll be back tomorrow from 10 to 11. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.